All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. This is a picture. All right, this 12th chapter is a picture. And in this picture, the Lord is showing us, he showed John, and of course John penned it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and so it is here for our benefit and our understanding. Okay, so what we see here is a picture. All right, now the reason I say that, if you'll look at verse 1 of this chapter, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven." And it says, "A woman clothed with the sun and the moon upon her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered." Now watch this. "And there appeared another," what's the word? Wonder, right? Now go back to verse 1. You see the word wonder in verse 1. And then you see it again in verse 3. Now, the fascinating thing here, the interesting thing here, and if you have a Cambridge Bible, you will see in the center column that the King James translators put a little, well, it's too small for me to see, but it looks like a two. Is that a two? All right, then it says beside that, or sign. All right, or sign. So that's why I say to you that this chapter is a picture. It's a sign, all right? It is a sign. And in this sign, we are going to see God's plan for the last days, for the end times, all right? So I want to continue reading here a little bit, and then I want to pray, and then we'll delve into this. All right, so look at verse 3 now. It says, "And there appeared another wonder, another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Now, does that ring any bells with anybody? All right, do you see the picture there? All right, I really don't have to even teach this, do I? Huh? Yeah, it's that obvious, it's that clear. You can see that. Who took a third of the angels with him when he was kicked out of heaven? All right, and it very clearly says here, "Behold, a great red dragon." And over in chapter 13, we're going to learn that this dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. All right, so this is the devil. This is Satan. Verse 4, telling us that he drew the 1/3 of heaven's angels with him, and notice, and did cast them to the earth. Okay, so they were kicked out of heaven, and where did they go? Well, we've already learned that 200,000 of them, 2,200,000 were sealed until the tribulation period, and they're going to be released. We saw that back in in the judgments that were being poured out. And then we see that that this dragon not only is destructive and full of hate and full of anger, but we see him that where it says that the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered. All right, so for to devour her child as soon as it was born. All right, so this woman evidently is Israel. All right, and the son that came from Israel is none other than the Lord Jesus. And you will remember that when it says here that the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, you'll remember that Herod said that you tell me where that child is, I want to go and worship him too. When you find him, you come back here and tell me, because I want to go and worship him too. Well, that was a lie. And of course, God knew that it was. Herod had no intentions whatsoever of worshiping the newborn Savior. No way. He wanted to kill him. And that is proven because he had all the babies in Bethlehem and the surrounding area killed who were under 2 years of age. And so you have the picture here of the Lord Jesus and Israel as a people and what God's going to do. All right, look at verse 5. It says, and she brought forth a man child who was to rule all the nation, all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Well, isn't that where our Savior is seated tonight? Amen. All right. You see what he's doing here? All right. And so what's going to happen? Well, verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness. Now, why does the woman have to flee? Because the devil, Satan, is during the tribulation period, in that second half of the tribulation period, the devil is going to break the covenant that Daniel says he will make with Israel. And I think that that is going to be at the midpoint of the tribulation period. And so for 3.5 years, he's going to turn against Israel. He brings peace to the world in the first 3.5 years. And they just love him to death. Everybody just loves this beast that comes from Satan. They just love him to death. All right. And so what's going to happen? Well, he's going to turn against Israel. And when he does, God is going to have them flee. You'll see it says, and the woman is Israel, a picture of Israel, and she will flee into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days or 3.5 years. Yes. Okay, then look at verse 7. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed. What's the next word? Oh, I like that. They prevailed not. All right, so no matter how hard the devil has tried since Adam and Eve, no matter how hard he has tried, he is never going to be able to prevail against God. It's just not going to happen. So neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And now, he said in verse 10, I heard a loud voice saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, his Messiah, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Folks, you realize the devil is on you day and night? It never lets up, does it? It never lets up. Okay, read the next verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I've had people ask me, Pastor, is the world getting worse, or is it just a figment of my imagination? I said, no, I believe the world's getting worse. And the reason that we can say that is because we're witnessing it, aren't we? And so now right here is a verse of scripture that tells us why the earth is getting worse. And the reason simply is because the devil knows that he has but a short time. So he is going to do everything he can to drag as many souls into hell. He knows the end game. He's read the Bible, and he knows what God's going to do. And he's not going to prevail. And so he's trying to drag as many people into hell with him as he can. All right, I'll stop reading right there, and let's pray, and then we'll look at chapter 12. All right, Father, we thank you so much for your word. I pray your richest blessings upon it tonight. Thank you so much for this beautiful picture that we have, this sign that you gave to John. And Father, I ask you to bless the word to our hearts in a great way. Give us understanding, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, in Isaiah 14, you're familiar, I think. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but I think that you're familiar enough. In Isaiah 14, we get just a little bit of insight as to Satan's aspirations and what he intends, what he is trying to do. If you remember, he said to God, I will, I will, I will. Five times he said to God, I will. And God said, no, you won't. And that's when he was booted out of heaven. All right, so he when he was kicked out of heaven, he fell to the earth, and as we learn right here, he brought one third of heaven's angels with him. All right, so what was the devil trying to do? What was Satan trying to do? Well, simply put, Satan wants to be God. All right, that's just the simple way to look at it. Satan wants to be God. He wants everyone to worship him. All right, that would be his ideal scenario, to have everyone and everything worshiping him instead of God. Since the dawn of time and the creation of man, Satan has willed to have complete dominion and control over mankind and the world. And in this chapter, we see his plans and his schemes unmasked. All right? That's what this chapter is all about. He wants to rule everything, and he wants man to bow down and worship him. And John is in the middle of this tribulation period. He is standing there watching the Antichrist turn on a dime and become this murderer that he is. Satan is a murderer. Don't forget that. The Lord Jesus told us so. All right. So you've got a Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit for it. All right? God has his word, and the devil has his word. That's all these newfangled Bibles that take the deity of Christ out and the virgin birth out. All right? Isaiah said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." And all these new Bibles, they take out the word virgin and they put young maiden or something foolish like that. No, the virgin birth is a key fundamental doctrine to our faith. If you take that out of the Bible, everything just crumbles. Because that would mean that Jesus was born the same way you and I were born. And it would mean that the Lord Jesus, when he was born, was a sinner just like you and I were born sinners. And so God overcame that complication through the virgin birth. And the Holy Spirit of God planted the seed, placed the seed in Mary's womb, and the Son of God was born. All right? And so his plans are right here in this chapter. And what we see and what we learn is that his plans and his schemes are unmasked. And John sees all of this chaos now that's starting, and so the Lord says to him, John, don't panic. Let me show you. This is the plan. This is how it's going to end. This is the final chapter, John. Now, it's not the final chapter of the Bible, but it gives us what's going to happen in the final chapter of the Bible. What has been happening all along. And that's what's in this 12th chapter. We have seen that the two witnesses are slain that we read about back here in chapter 11. And we saw that they were martyred, that they were slain. God allowed it, and the devil appears with their murders to have won a great victory. But as the devil is celebrating, you'll remember from last week, while the devil is celebrating, the seventh trumpet is sounded. And once again, Satan's plans are foiled. Now, in this 12th chapter, Satan's ruling passion is clearly the theme. But here, as in every other attempt that the devil has ever made to take over and to supplant God here and every other time. He has always been bitterly defeated. The victory shot that is announced by the seventh trumpet is going to continue to sound and echo its truth through the next 3.5 years. The time of great tribulation. The time of Jacob's trouble, as the Bible calls it, when the Antichrist turns against the people of God, the children of Israel. All right, now watch. You've got Father, Son, Spirit. So what's the devil come along with? He comes along with Satan, a type of the Father. Then you have the Antichrist, the first beast, and he is a picture, a type of the Son, the Lord Jesus. And then you have the second Antichrist, the beast, the second beast, who the Bible calls a false prophet. And he will take the role of the Holy Spirit in the satanic trinity, in the satanic small g Godhead. All right, so you've got the holy Godhead, Father, Son, Spirit, and you've got the unholy small g Godhead, Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. So everything God has, the devil has a counter for it. And so what we see in this passage, in this chapter, John tells us about a great wonder that he saw in heaven. Now, as I mentioned a moment ago, that word wonder is the word that is translated literally sign. John intended us to see that this chapter was to be taken symbolically. It is a picture. And I think you ought to take the scriptures literally where you can. But when John tells us that this is a sign, it is to be intended to be taken as symbolically. All right, so let's look at this sign that John saw, and let me point out to you this chapter from the standpoint of the devil, of Satan's ruling passion. His ruling passion is to exterminate the Jews. He wants to exterminate the Jews. Now, if you'll remember, he tried to do that all the way through the Old Testament scriptures. I mean, he tried to do that with the famine that came upon Abraham and his family. And he tried to do that when Joseph was sold by his brothers and taken down to Egypt. And God miraculously preserved Israel through that son that was in a strange land and preserved his father and his family alive so that the Jewish race could grow. And then the devil tried when they were being persecuted by Pharaoh. And you'll remember that. Pharaoh was coming after them to kill them. He was going to murder all of them. And God divided the sea, and the children of Israel went over on dry ground. And then when Pharaoh and his army went into the sea, when they all got inside, boom, God pulled the plug. And the people of God were preserved. And listen, folks, let me just jump forward a good ways. Hitler tried to extinguish them. All right, they have been hated and persecuted. Why? Because the devil has read the back of the book and he knows what's coming. And so he's going to do everything in his power to destroy the people of God. You remember when the Lord Jesus was born. Herod came down to Bethlehem and killed all the babies under 2 years of age. Why? Hoping to cut off the Messiah. Hoping to keep him from growing up and dying on Calvary's cross. You'll remember that he was teaching the people on the brow of that town where the Valley of Megiddo is at the bottom of it, and it's just a great big rock. You get too far out there, and you're going to fall off. And if you fall off, you're dead. That's all there is to it. It's too far of a drop. You would not survive that. No human being could or would survive that. And the Bible says that the people pressed. In other words, they just kept coming and coming and coming. And no doubt the devil was back there somewhere pushing people and trying to get them to go. But right before he went over, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus passed through them. Amen. You see, he was not supposed to die by being thrown off a cliff. Yep. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. On a cross. So the devil's tried, but at every step of the road, he has been subverted. At every step of the road, the devil has been stopped. And so he cannot overthrow God. And so the devil has launched his all-out attack on God's people during the tribulation period so that he can try to cut off the Jews, God's people. You see, if Jesus is going to sit upon a throne, and look at verse 5. In verse 5, we learn he is. Okay? Do you see that? And she brought forth a man child. Who was to what? Rule all nations. Amen. You see, I wonder what the Hebrew is for that word all. It's all. It means everybody. Amen. Everybody on the planet. Amen. He's going to rule. And then it says he's going to rule them with a rod of iron. That's called the millennial reign. And that's 3.5 years and the Battle of Armageddon away from right here in this chapter. And so what we see here is that the devil is trying his best to cut off the Messiah. He tried his best to cut off the Messiah, and now he's failed. So now he's going to go after God's people. The Jews. You say, well, why would he do that? Well, because a king has to have subjects. A king sitting on a throne has to have a people to rule. All right? You see that? And so the devil can read, folks. Don't ever forget that. The devil can read. He knows the Bible. He knows the Bible better than you or me. Don't ever forget that. He knows your intent. He knows your weakness. He knows your flaws. I mean, he just knows. He's watched you. He's watching you right now. Or somebody, one of his minions is. And so we've got to realize that this devil that we're fighting, well, he's real. All right, now let's very quickly look at the characters in this chapter. You've got the woman. And the woman is a picture of Israel. Now, there's been a lot of discussion and debate, and the theologians and the professors and seminarians and all that bunch. They've hashed this over and over and over. And there's a bunch of them that say that this woman represents Mary. No. And then some say this woman is a picture of the church. Well, I got a Hebrew word for that. Baloney. All right, baloney. No. The woman is a picture of Israel. It's just that simple. And so I think the only thing that fits here is the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. Now, look at the prophetic significance of this verse. Just think about it for just a moment. This takes us back into our Bibles. Remember now, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. All right? So you go back into the Old Testament and you're going to see a picture of what is going on here. You say, well, I wonder where that is. It's in Genesis 37. Don't turn there. We don't have time. You know it. In Genesis 37, we have the story of Joseph. And Joseph was just, you know, he was just a kid, just a teenager. And all his brothers were in their middle ages. They were all, you know, much older than he was. And he had this dream. You remember that? And he dreamed that the sun and the moon and 11 stars all bowed before him and submitted themselves to him. Okay? And, of course, they got angry. The brothers got angry. I think that Jacob chuckled. But the brothers got angry. They were not happy at all. And that's what precipitated them coming down when they saw him coming, take him and throw him down in that pit. They despised him. Who does he think he is? You know, pride's a terrible thing, isn't it? It's a terrible thing. And so he understood, Joseph understood from this dream that his father and his mother and his 11 brothers would all bow down and serve him one day. And that's exactly what happened, wasn't it? Exactly what happened. The famine came, and so Jacob said, boys, go down to Egypt and buy bread. Well, when they came down to buy bread, who did God have in the position over the bread? Joseph. And of course, Joseph recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. And does that ring any bells? He came unto his own, and his own. There you go. Y'all are so smart. I don't need to teach y'all this. Y'all know it all. But isn't that amazing, folks? And right there it is. It's almost like the Lord is saying, hey, John, don't get discouraged here. Now, I've been telling you all along what's going to happen. I've been telling you, it's all through your Old Testament scriptures here. You know those scriptures, John. Trust them. Amen. So I'm going to show you one more time. And that's chapter 12. That's chapter 12. It's almost like the Lord is just saying, you know, best way to learn is repetition. So let me just repetate here for a moment. You know? Yeah. It's an awesome word. It's not in the dictionary, but it's an awesome word. Sounded good, didn't it? It's a West Virginia interpretation. That's why I went to Morgantown yesterday. When did I go? Yesterday. That's why I went to Morgantown for speech therapy. Yes. Speech therapy. All right, so this chapter, folks, gives us a glimpse of the glory and the dignity and of God's thinking towards the nation of Israel. Granted, Israel has failed repeatedly through the ages. When the Messiah came 2,000 years ago, they rejected him. And their eyes were blinded throughout the church age. That's not to say that Jews cannot be saved. They certainly can. But as a nation, they're blind. All right, then you got the child in verse 2. And she being with child. So Israel gave us the Lord Jesus himself. And then you have, in verse 3 and 4, this great red dragon. A dragon is a flying serpent. It's a flying serpent and is a biblical symbol for Satan. All right, hold your place right here and just flip over to chapter 20 of Revelation for just a moment. Chapter 20. All right, are you there? Look at verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that old serpent. There you go. All right. He laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent. And then he says, which is the devil, which is Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. All right, so that's what's coming. That's what's coming. That's verse 5 when the Lord Jesus sits down upon the throne of the world. All right, so you've got in this chapter so far, you got the woman, and That's the children of Israel. That's the nation Israel. And then you have the child, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have the great red dragon, and that's none other than Satan himself. All right? So a dragon is a flying serpent and is a biblical symbol for Satan. The head, the horns, the crowns of the dragon are symbols of his earthly power that he will claim during the last half of that tribulation period. He is pictured here as a great red dragon. which is an eloquent symbol for cruelty, for bloodlust, for power. He is the cause of the woman's sufferings, Israel's sufferings, if you will. And the mention in verse 4 of Satan drawing one third of the stars is no doubt a reference to his fall and to his initial rebellion. One third of the angelic host followed him in his rebellion against God. And as Satan and his angels rebelled once, they will continue to rebel and be active against God and against Israel during the tribulation period. But Satan could not, notice that, he could not prevail against the Lord. Look at verse 4, the last part of verse 4. It says that he stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. But no, that's not going to happen, is it? That's not going to, that didn't happen, and it's not going to happen in the future. The devil cannot prevail against God. So Satan is, he's tried, and he just keeps trying, but he cannot, and he will not ever prevail. So during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the plans of Satan are going to be once again stopped. He's going to fall short. And the Jews, the people of Israel, the nation, is going to have to flee into the wilderness. Many believe to a place that is known in the Bible as Edom. And there in Edom is the red rock city of Petra. And there's only one way in, only one way in. And I don't know if God's going to put an angel force around that one way. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it. And he will protect Israel through the tribulation period. So thank God for that. All right, now look please at verse 7. In verse 7, only got 5 more minutes, so listen carefully. In verse 7, there is a war in heaven. All right, John saw a war. Look at it. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. All right, so you've got this war. Now, people say that that Satan was an archangel and that he was in charge of the music. I don't doubt that for a minute. I mean, what has done more destruction to the minds and hearts of young people than music? That's where it all begins. That's where it all the rebellion begins right there. You tell me what your kids are listening to today, and I'll give you a little picture of what they're going to become. I've been at this too long. Too long. All right, so what's going to happen? Well, here we get a little insight into the mysterious realm of the unseen. All right, there's a war going on in heaven. And here we see a couple of characters that are introduced. One is the archangel Michael. And it is evident from the book of Daniel, chapter 10, that that behind the kingdoms of this world is a satanic empire in the spirit realm. There is this satanic empire, and that empire oversees the divided kingdoms of this world. There is a prince of Tyrus, the city of Tyre. There is a prince of Persia, the whole Persian Empire. So that demon must have really been strong. He must have been some kind of strong to be given a whole kingdom of people. All right, so satanic angels or principalities supervise on the devil's behalf the affairs of the nations over which they have been given earthly rule by Satan. Now, you may remember that Michael is called by Jude, the little book before Revelation. Michael is called by Jude the archangel. And many believe that Michael was specifically given charge over Israel as protector in the unseen spiritual world. All right? And so he defends the nation and God's interest in this nation against Satan's constant onslaughts. And then you have Satan, that old serpent, the dragon, the devil. And John saw him as he was revealed in history in verse 3, doing battle against Christ. That's what he does. But now John sees the devil being cast out of heaven. And if you'll remember in Job 1, Satan appeared before God to accuse Job, and he was called in our text here, he is called in at the end of verse 10, the accuser of them that of them before our God day and night. All right, so so there he is. He is called in Ephesians 2:2, the prince and power of the air. How does my voice get from my throat to your ears? Yeah, it rides through the air. And Satan's the prince and power of the air. That's why sometimes I can say something and all of a sudden you raise up. You know, you wake up. I've had people confront me. I can't believe you said that. What did I say? Well, you said, and then tell me what they thought they heard. And I said, I didn't say that. I never said that. Yes, you did. I heard it. No, you didn't. You were asleep before. You were asleep before I said it. I was watching you. But Satan's the prince and power of the air. So Israel's going to have to flee. All right? Israel's going to have to flee. And Jesus said, pray. He told them, pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day, Matthew 24 and verse 20. But it doesn't matter if it is, because God's going to protect them anyway. Amen. And that's the bottom line. And a flood, I didn't read this, but if you'll read the rest of it, a flood is going to happen right there. And when that flood happens, I think no doubt a symbolic flood, since it proceeds from a symbolic mouth, all right? No doubt the beast will send an innumerable array of demons of his army after the Jews, but once again, Satan's defeated. They come towards Petra, and God says, no. And he sends a flood, symbolically. But you know, when you got floodwaters coming, you don't have a chance. Anybody ever been in a flood? You ever been in one? Yeah, they're not fun, are they? Not fun at all. So the point is, folks, in this 12th chapter, Satan can't win. That's the point. All right? Satan cannot win. We win. Our Savior wins. And the devil is once again defeated. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. What an amazing book this is. And I'm sure old John was discouraged as he was seeing all these sealed judgments and all these trumpet judgments and folks dying and people being tormented by these locusts that were flying around. And Father, I just thank you so much for your word and for what it did to John's heart. John was shown that no matter what Satan tries to do, he cannot win. So, Father, help us to just get excited about the fact that we're on the winning side. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.